children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible and Living Sound.
Realizing that there were two factions among his accusers, Paul wisely used them to divert attention from himself by getting them to disagree and quarrel with each other. With this in mind, Paul said,
"Men and brethren, men of Israel, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I believe in and hope for the resurrection of the dead. For this I am before the council today."
"There is no resurrection from the dead. Such a thing is impossible. Neither are there angels nor spirits."
"Well, there are angels and spirits, and there is a resurrection from the dead."
"You don't know what you're talking about."
"And you know less than an idiot."
"People of Israel, quiet, please."
"It's a member of the Sanhedrin. We'd better be quiet."
"Yes, Father."
"After careful consideration, we have decided that there is nothing wrong with this man. Perhaps a spirit or an angel really did speak to him."
"You are a Pharisee. That's why you say that. But it is not true. We have not considered this man at all except to find him guilty of gross blasphemy and worthy of death. Grab the prisoner, some of you Sadducees, and we will kill him."
"No, don't let them do it. Save him."
"Centurion, take a platoon and rescue Paul before they tear him to pieces. Take him to the usual cell in the fort, but no chains. He is a Roman citizen."
"Yes, sir."
Soon Paul was in prison, safe from the angry mob. Later, while reflecting on the trying experiences of the day, Paul began to fear that his course might not have been pleasing to God.
"Perhaps I made a mistake in coming to Jerusalem. But I did so desire to be in harmony with the Christian leaders here. What will the unbelieving pagan Gentile world think of all the fighting and killing among God's professed people? They turned the Sanhedrin into a scene of strife and wild confusion. Oh, the name of God has surely suffered shame and reproach. They claim to worship Jehovah. They assume sacred office, yet..."
In distress and discouragement, Paul wept and prayed.
"And now, O Lord, I am in prison. Thine enemies in their malice will resort to any means to put me to death. Is my work in the churches ended, O Lord? Thy cause is very near to my heart, and I pray that ravening wolves will not enter the churches and cause discouragement and unfaithfulness."
"Paul."
"My Lord Jesus, humbly I bow before thee."
"Be not discouraged, my servant, for I have not been unmindful of you. I guarded you from the murderous throng in the temple courts. I was by your side during the hearing in the Sanhedrin. I was with you in the fort prison cell. I reveal myself now, my servant, to cheer you. For as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome."
And when it was day, certain of the Israelites, 40 in number, came together secretly to plot against Paul.
"There are 40 of us. None of us are leaders or elders or anything special. Just ordinary, everyday Israelites. There is nothing about us to attract attention or cause suspicion. Therefore, we should be able to formulate a plot to kill Paul and carry it out successfully."
"Yeah, the Sanhedrin don't seem to be able to do away with Paul. And someone has to. We'll do our duty. We'll kill him."
"It should be easy with 40 of us. All we have to do is waylay him and kill him. It's that simple."
"You've forgotten that he's in prison under Roman protection."
"I have not forgotten it."
"Well, how do you propose to get him out of prison so we can waylay him?"
"We'll need the cooperation of the Sanhedrin. We will ask the chief priest, Ananias, to send a message to the fort commander that he wishes to question Paul on a simple matter. And would he please send a soldier with Paul to the council chambers?
But it's not very far from the fort to the council room. A matter of a few hundred feet.
There are 40 of us. Some will cause a commotion while others snatch Paul and kill him. It will happen so suddenly and surprisingly, the soldier won't be able to do anything.
Well, it might work.
It will work. Are all 40 of us in favor of this plan?
Well, I think so.
Remember, all of you, we took a solemn oath and swore that we would neither eat nor drink until we have killed Paul. We dare not break this oath, lest we be cursed. We will all go right now to see the high priest.
To what do I owe this honor? 40 good Israelites visiting me at the same time?
We are here to do His Highness a great service.
Yes?
We 40 are going to rid the world of that troublemaker, Paul.
Oh?
We have bound ourselves with a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.
I will not deny that it will be a great service to the whole world, but what do I have to do with it?
We desire that His Highness, together with the council, ask the chief captain to bring Paul down to you tomorrow as though you want to ask a few questions of him. But we will be lying in wait. He shall never arrive here, for we will kill him.
Oh. I think perhaps I can get the Romans to do that. Yes.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Let me tell you of a man who was before the world began, who loves you more than anyone can, known by the name of Jesus. He was born a babe like you, and every word he spoke is true. I pray you'll come to know him too, and live your life for Jesus. If he could cause the storm to clear, he'll calm the tempest of
favorite granddaughter, Mariam?
I'm your only granddaughter.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to talk to your father about that. How was school today?
We studied about World War I. Do you remember it?
No. Believe it or not, it was a few decades before my time. What did you learn?
I learned that people can be very mean to each other. Grandma, why do they do that?
I think that people fight each other because they listen to the other voice.
The other voice?
In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were walking around and playing with the animals, a voice called from a tree. Remember the story?
Oh, yes. I learned that at Bible class. Satan was in the tree looking like a beautiful serpent. He told Eve to eat the fruit that God said not to eat.
And what did she do?
She ate it.
Why did she do that?
Because She listened to the other voice. The voice that wasn't God's, right?
Exactly. God's voice said, don't eat. Satan's voice said, eat. In World War I and II and Korea and Vietnam and in the Middle East, God's voice said, don't fight. Satan's voice said, fight. Today, God's voice says to us, don't cheat, don't lie, don't be unkind. Satan says just the opposite. We need to decide who to listen to every day.
Thanks, Grandma. I want to listen to God's voice.
Smart girl. You get that from your dad's side of the family, you know.
Oh, Grandma.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 10, Grandma's Story. Come here, children, Grandma Adams said, reaching out from her bed. Dee Dee and Jenny approached Grandma Adams slowly. Dee Dee's hair was full of cobwebs, and Jenny was black from head to foot from coal dust. Have you been having fun exploring this old house? Grandma asked. She chuckled and brushed the cobwebs from Dee Dee's hair. Dee Dee grinned and nodded. This house doesn't give up its secrets easily, but we learned a thing or two about it. Such as, Grandma raised one eyebrow. We found your diary, Jenny said. I hope you don't mind us looking at it. Diary? Grandma said. I don't remember having a... Ah, yes, she smiled, slowly remembering. That was a really long time ago. We were trying to find out the truth about Captain Morgan, Dee Dee said. And did you? Grandma asked. Dee Dee told Grandma about finding the hidden passageway and following it to Captain Morgan's room. And we found your initials and those of others in the passageway, Jenny said. Those other initials were there a long time before you were born, said Grandma. The man who owned the boarding house before my daddy, Hansen, I think his name was, used it to hide runaway slaves before the war between the states. That's the Civil War, I think you call it. Dee Dee nudged Jenny. I told you. Is that how your daddy snuck Captain Morgan in and out of the boarding house? Jenny asked. Grandma nodded. I would use that passageway to visit him every night. That is, until he left us that night in August. Oh, you mean the night he was killed? Dee Dee said. Killed? Goodness no, Grandma laughed. My daddy would come in and read to him from the Bible every night, and every night after Daddy left, Captain Morgan would ask me about what Daddy had read. One night we were talking about John, chapter 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. I was explaining it to Captain Morgan when he up and let out a wail. I thought he hurt himself, but then he started crying. I asked him what was the matter. Abigail, he said to me, I am not the man I need to be. Those words cut through me like a sword. Dee Dee looked at Jenny. The sword of the Spirit, Dee Dee said. Now I know what Mrs. Shue meant. That's how the Bible is like a sword. Captain Morgan decided right then and there to give himself over entirely to Jesus, Grandma continued. We went downstairs and woke Daddy up. Daddy and two of his deacons took Captain Morgan down to the river. And drowned him? Jenny asked weakly. No, baptized him, child. They put that mean old man under the water, and his meanness just washed on down to the ocean. The man who came up out of the water belonged to Jesus. That's what you meant when you said that he was with Jesus, Dee Dee said. But what happened to him after that? I found his trunk up in the attic. And I found Henry down in the base, cellar, Jenny said. Grandma laughed. Oh, Henry, how I loved that car. Captain Morgan left that night and headed back to Mississippi to do what he could for that family he had hurt so badly years before. He said he was a new man, and he didn't want anything to do with the things that belonged to the old man, the mean old man that was washed down the river. So in a sense, the old Captain Morgan was washed away down the river, Dee Dee said. Grandma nodded. Captain Morgan didn't have any money to pay Daddy for putting him up and taking care of him for so long. So when he left, he gave Daddy his brand new Model T Ford. In those days, if a black man was seen with something as nice as a new car, he would be beaten or worse. Daddy and his deacons moved the car into the cellar to protect it and to hide it. He never got around to taking it out. Grandma leaned back in her bed and sighed. I really loved that car. Dee Dee looked at her grandmother, then at Jenny. There's one more mystery that hasn't been solved. What happened to the family Bible? Jenny winked. Ask your brother. Everyone turned and looked at Marcus, who stood in the doorway. Marcus got red and shook his head. Why is everyone looking at me? He asked. Jenny grinned. You left for your errand, then came back and took the Bible when Dee Dee and I walked out to the car. What are you talking about? Marcus answered, trying to look innocent. Then you took it down to the cellar. I mean, basement, Jenny said. I what? And you did something to it down there, Jenny said. Marcus looked at Jenny, then Dee Dee, then his mother and grandmother. Tell the truth, Marcus, Mrs. Adams said. Marcus paused, then exhaled loudly. All right, you caught me. Dee Dee, Jenny, you two detectives are too smart for your own good. He stepped out of the room into the hallway. After a minute, he came back with something in his hands. It was a wooden box that had been trimmed in copper foil. Marcus carried it over to Grandma and held it as if it were a treasure. As Grandma looked at it, sure enough, on the cover it said, Family Treasure in Copper. Grandma took the box from Marcus and held it in her lap. She opened it carefully. Inside was the family Bible. Everyone was so worried about it getting damaged, Marcus said quietly. I wanted to do something to protect it. I wanted it to be a surprise. Grandma Adams looked down at the Bible, then up at Marcus. You're a jewel, Marcus, she said, cupping her hands around his face and kissing him. Imagine that, Jenny said to Dee Dee. What? Dee Dee asked. Swords are used to protect people, she said. Marcus found a way to protect this sword. After all the Bible has done for my family, don't you think it deserves a little protection? Dee Dee answered. Jenny smiled. You're right. I'm so glad you invited me to stay here with you, Dee Dee. This has been about the most interesting weekend of my life. You don't think there are any more mysteries in this house, do you? Dee Dee didn't answer. She turned and looked at her grandmother. Grandma Adams just smiled. I don't suppose you two have learned everything about this house yet. Now Dee Dee smiled as she turned to Jenny. Here we go again. The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.